turn it off to Thunderdome.
Sunday. At the Apocalypse Video Store, all summer long, Martin Hofano presents the second-hand Hot Day
Summer Film Fest.
Featuring live performances by the Keanu Nier.
I want room service!
Sandra Bullet Train. With special appearance by
the Swayzosaurus Rex.
Tickets for the whole seat, only 5 bottle caps, but you'll only need the egg. Get there early to get a coupon for free, unlimited Mountain Dew Life Walk. Be there or be dead. And now, making his first appearance in the Thunderdome, it's the Keanu-nator. In one of the most explosive action films of the 90s, get your ass behind the white line, it's Speed!
All right, pop quiz. Airport, gunman with one hostage. He's using her for cover. He's almost to a plane. You're 100 feet away.
What do you think?
Shoot the hostage.
What?
Go for the good wound and he can't get to the plane with her. Clear shot.
You're deeply nuts, you know that?
All right, gentlemen, what we have here are 13 passengers in an express elevator. Bomb's already taken out cables. Bomber wants $3 million or he blows the emergency brakes.
Anything else that'll keep this elevator from falling?
The basement.
He can strike anywhere. Any time.
Will the Mr. Guest please sign in?
Why are they messing with me? Do they think I'm doing this for fun?
For L.A. cop Jack Travon.
Tell me again, Harry, why did I take this job?
Oh, come on, 30 more years of this, you get a tiny pension and a cheap gold watch.
Cool.
The game began.
Very exciting, Jack. Some close calls, huh?
When someone put the city of Los Angeles to the ultimate test.
Pop quiz, hotshot.
There's a bomb on a bus. Once the bus goes 50 miles an hour, the bomb is armed. If it drops below 50, it blows up. What do you do?
Now.
Are you insured?
Yeah, why?
He's the only solution.
We just got a ransom demand from your terrorist. Says he's rigged the city bus. Where's Jack?
Where do you think?
Stay on or get off.
Get off.
This is much better.
Everybody hold on!
Keanu Reeves. Dennis Hopper. Sandra Bullock.
Pop quiz, you have a hair trigger aimed at your head. What do you do?
Speed. Get ready for Rush Hour.
Pop quiz, hot shots. You're reviewing a 1994 action classic with the Keanu-nator and the Sandra Bullock train, and you gotta use a quote from the movie to introduce yourself. What do you do? Ryan.
Arizona Wildcats.
Michael.
What?
That was Sandra Bullock.
Oh, okay.
What? And I'm Dave, and I sure got a hard on for this podcast.
My other choice. I'll save it for the end.
Well, we're reviewing Speed this time, guys, for the Hot Dave Summer Film Fest. And this movie, I mean, is this a first for anyone?
It's a first for me.
Oh, my God.
This is a big one that is, like, on my pile of shame. Like, because I feel like this is one where a lot of people even if they haven't like seen all of it, they're like, oh yeah, I know a lot about Speed. I've seen clips of most of, you know, throughout flipping channels in the 90s, I've sort of seen Speed, but this is like nothing. No,
that's like, what about like, I mean, it was definitely like a movie, you know, parodied or referenced a lot in like the last 25 years or something. Like, did that just like, did you not register that was Speed that they were?
Well, probably not. I mean, it was one of those things where I'm seeing it kind of like seeing Predator or something, where I'm like, oh, like that's
where that comes from. That's where that Speed comes from.
Okay. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. Speed.
Well, I never thought that that we'd get someone who never saw the movie Speed on here before, but here we are. This comes from Yann DeBont, the guy who was the DP for Die Hard, Hunt for Red October, Lethal Weapon 3, and then he kind of went on to become like his own, he kind of went on to become a director.
Kind of roamed the 90s a little bit.
This was his first directing credit, if you can believe that.
Wow. Which I cannot. Wild.
Yeah.
2 years later, he directs Speed or Twister,
which is like a
year after
huge,
that Speed 2, and that kind of torpedoed his career more or less.
It did, yeah. It was like over. It was like
that's wild. They did a Speed 2 because we'll get into it. But like one of the things that I was laughing at is like they put the sequel to the movie in this movie.
Yeah, right. Yeah, kind of. Well, that's pretty wild.
Well, they have Speed. Like Speed is like Die Hard on a bus, and then that kind of ends.
Oh,
and then they have Speed and a subway.
Yeah.
Well, I never thought about that, but you're absolutely right.
It feels like it. The movie has like
it even like has like the lines. It feels like the lines that would be given in like the sequel. Like when he's lying on top of her and then she's lying on top of him, and
I know, and they're kind of replaying the same thing they just did like half an hour ago in after the
it totally feels like what would be in the 90s sequel to
I'm going
to
speed it up, or what's he say?
yeah, we're going to jump it, and we're going to jump it again, you know?
Yeah, they're going to jump it again, which doesn't make any
it's,
sense.
Okay, you're right. So I've seen a movie, I mean, that's what Dave is, you know, mentioning, that like someone never seen it, because it's a movie that played probably every day on basic cable TV.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I probably
FX, you two have seen Speed before?
Yeah, like
a billion times on FX.
Like this is probably one of the movies I've seen the most times, and it's not even one of my favorite movies. I just feel like I've seen it so many times.
Was FX's original tagline "We have speed" and the other movies?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, and the thing is nobody remembers the end. I've seen the movie a million times. I probably never remember the train stuff. It's always a surprise almost every time I watch it, because it's you people turn off. You turn off you change the channel after the bus is blown up.
After the explosion.
Yeah. And so
there is one exception, though. I think people still remember the line, "Yeah, but I'm taller."
I don't know. It's so funny because, like, I mean, yeah, that ending is always like you think, because you get them mixed up in your head, because jumping ahead, spoiler alert, you know, Sandy and Keanu, they roll off the bus and it blows up, and they're kind of like holding each other. And that's sort of how the movie ends as well, but with the train. So I think your mind gets confused. Like, that's how the movie ends, you know?
That's how, well, if they did make a sequel, it should have been on like a subway train, because subway trains can go fast. But no, the sequel's set on a boat, which in my mind, they don't really go that fast.
I think they go really fast, but it's hard for context.
Not a cruise ship.
They go pretty fast.
With
but
perspective,
you just,
though, they're so
yeah,
big.
Yeah, you're just looking at the ocean around. It's like when you're in a plane, it doesn't feel like it's going that fast because you're not seeing stuff zip by.
Well, it's like, I imagine, like, if Howard Hughes was directing Speed 2 Cruise Control, he'd be like, we need clouds for contrast. Like, we can't tell how fast it's going.
We need buoys and other boats that are not going fast.
The a plane would probably be this had been before 9/11, but a plane would have been an obvious choice as well for a sequel.
That's probably
we're talking about the sequel.
Like, that literally would have been probably like 9/11.
Yeah, movie. Right. Yeah. But it's it's a movie I've seen a lot, and it's a movie that I do enjoy. I mean, it's like dumb, but it's one of my favorite, like that and Twister. It's so funny. I watch those movies a lot. Like,
same.
And I don't know. I probably seen this movie more than I've seen Die Hard, you know, because it came out when I was a kid. You know, Die Hard was a little early, you know, and I've seen Die Hard a lot, too. But and maybe Keanu was more in my radar. You know, he was more of a guy that I could, you know, liked compared to, you know, Willis. So
is it fair to say also, speaking of Keanu, the Keanu-nator in this movie, is it just me, or does he seem so much more like thick in this movie than any other movie he's ever done?
Yeah, there's a couple shots where he's like the shot where he's lying down and he's going to go under the bus. You get a good view of his arms.
He's
and,
huge.
Yeah, I almost paused it.
He doesn't come off like lanky like he does in a lot of other movies.
Yes.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, if Johnny Mnemonic, a movie we're going to watch later in the Thunderdome for another episode, he looks lanky, and that's only a year difference between the movies.
And it's part of the way it's shot. You know, there's a lot of close-ups, a lot of sweat in this, you know. One of my notes is like, I think Keanu's pretty good in this, you know, and I think in what it is, I think he has a different energy. Like that when he first introduced to him and he's like chewing gum, I'm like, I feel like I've never seen Keanu chew gum in a movie, you know, or something, or eat.
He's very much like playing, this is the action movie trope of like the guy who has a death wish.
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
Kind of thing, which I love.
But he's good. He's like, he's kind of like more alive in it than his persona, you know, is he's kind of like a wooden guy. And he's, he's killing it, I think, in this movie. He's good.
All right, gentlemen, what we have here are 13 passengers in an express elevator. Below floor 30. Bomb's already taken out cables. Bomber wants $3 million or he blows the emergency brakes.
What's our clock?
He gave 1 hour. That leaves us 23 minutes exactly.
Anything else that'll keep this elevator from falling?
The basement.
The city would like to avoid that event, Officer Travin.
We can't just unload the passengers?
This is an express elevator, gentlemen. The only way in or out is through access panels. The bomber's also wired the hatch to trigger the bomb, which seats him in the crazy but not stupid section.
Sir, Harry volunteers to examine the device.
Yeah, right.
Fine. The two of you check it out.
He's more it's like he's more engaged than other performances. Like, he's just more in it and just... Like every reaction he has, like there's that moment when he's under the train and the tire from the bus like keeps like deteriorating more and more, and like a shred part of it like hits his thing. He's like,
"Fuck me,
shit, fuck me." You know what I mean? Like, he just, I don't know, like his performance is just so much more intense in this movie than any other movie I've ever seen. Like, not to say that he's on cruise control in other movies he's in, but
it's just a different vibe, you know.
Different vibe.
And I guess he's not really in a lot of movies quite like this. He's in action movies, but like it's a different thing in like John Wick movies.
Well, he always plays it a little more stoic or passive, like in other movies. In this one, he's like fully engaged, full on action star, fully jacked. And just so much like, you know, like, I'm going to chase this guy. Like the money's not in the mailbox. We're going to go now. You know, it's like, Jack, don't you? it's probably because he's like, okay, the movie's called Speed, so I have to be going fast at all times.
Maybe it's like he took notes from, maybe the best film director ever, George Lucas, said faster, more intense.
Yeah, more intense. Yeah. Kind of would have been a good Jedi though, you know? Another time.
Where did that come from?
I don't know. You're talking about Lucas.
Is it because he has a shaved head in this?
Yeah, that or even long-haired, you know, bearded Keanu would work, you know?
Well, you're right. I could see him because he's been criticized a lot of times for being like a wooden actor. In that regard, I could see him easily like in the Jedi throne room, like,
so you're saying that this child is the one who is prophesied to bring balance to the Force?
You believe it's this boy?
Yeah, I think he's. He's a different thing. I mean, I don't want to be complaining about Keanu because I love.
What's our time to Star Wars, by the way?
Less than 10 minutes.
What's the term when someone dies? You know, when they flatline.
Mark, let's call it.
Call it, yeah.
It's time to Star Wars. Well, let's discuss the plot of Speed. It's a very simple plot. Mike, this is your first time watching it. What's the plot of Speed?
Well, I think we have to talk about the elevator action.
There's like three huge action movies in one.
Yeah.
And from what I was reading, too, that originally they wanted to do just the bus. And I think, like, they were like, you need to set it up somehow and stuff like that. And it's what the elevator thing came from.
That's a shame. I do think, I mean, I like this movie, but I do think it's a little overlong. Like, I would have liked it to be a little shorter. But, yeah, so we start with elevator action. It's like a...
What about the credits, those weird... shitty
the credits old. As you're going like down the elevator
well
shaft.
I think that's really cool, but they like look, they're kind of doing like a
Northwest thing. Like, I don't know if it was just me, but I was like, I'm gonna be sick like watching it's just like going down and the credits are like, I don't know, going up the elevator shaft.
They're like coming in from the side all weird. It's a weird like early 3D thing. Doesn't look great.
But yeah, so it's an office building. I mean, this is Die Hard in a Die Hard, I think, is how it's starting. It's basically like people are using an elevator shaft, and they get, the office workers get trapped there. This guy, played by Bowser himself. Oh my God, what's his name? Why am
Dennis Hopper.
Dennis Hopper is like a, you know, trying to get money. He's not like a terrorist.
You find out he's just some disgruntled old, police officer as
right, you know. but he's basically like trying to get money. Like, he's put a bomb on the elevator and they're gonna
ransom kind of thing, you
know? Yeah, give me $3 million, I'm gonna drop them. And so Keanu, in the best entrance of his career, like, we see him like flying, like the first time we see Keanu is his car is like catching air arriving to the scene, like over a hill.
This really sets the tone for the movie, this moment.
Yes, I love that. That was one of my favorite moments of the movie.
Because it's so like, why is this happening?
Yeah, like, okay. So it's him and Jeff, oh my God.
Jeff Daniels.
Jeff Daniels, yeah. Who I didn't realize was in this. So they're partners, and it's like the whole Bomb Squad team's there, and they're going to try and save the hostages or whatever.
Including Miles Dyson. He's their captain.
Dyson.
Miles Dyson. And so Keanu is like, they're basically like, all right, well, there's no way to save them. We're just going to have to give them the money. And Keanu's like, I have an idea. And the Bomb Squad guy is just like, okay, well, you do that. Everyone else is going to just save the non-elevator people in the building. You're on your own. Good luck.
Well, to be clear, he doesn't have an idea. He's like, what if Harry and I just got into the elevator shaft and, like, stood on top of the elevator and, like, shined a flashlight on it?
Yeah. I mean, okay. Yeah. So they go, and they just, like, I don't know how much in detail we want to go, but they're exchanging, like, a lot of badass quips, and you get the kind of like, okay, they're partners. Keanu's the
chewing gum the
guy.
Whole time.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And is Keanu the first one? He's like, pop quiz, hot shot. There's a hostage. This is a good line because this is a situation that then just comes up so.
Yeah,
many times.
Well, they kind of have like a thing where they're talking. He doesn't say the pop quiz, but it's like a. Well, does he? It's more of
Jeff
the
Daniels does
Jeff Daniels
pop quiz.
And it's more of like just something they kind of do to take their mind off what they're doing, it seems like. Of just like, what are you going to do if this in this situation?
And the situation they say is like guy has hostage and you got a clean shot on like, what do they say exactly? It's like, guy is a hostage and he's demanding something. What do you do? And Keanu's like, kill the hostage.
Oh, he says shoot the hostage, not kill the hostage.
Shoot the hostage.
Not kill the hostage.
All right, pop quiz.
Airport, gunman with one hostage. He's using her for cover. He's almost to a plane. You're 100 feet away. Jack.
Shoot the hostage.
What?
Take her out of the equation. Go for the good wound and you can't get to the plane with her. Clear shot.
You're deeply nuts, you know that? Shoot the hostage.
Shoot the hostage, yeah. and that comes up like multiple times.
Yeah, it's kind
of
like
take him out of the equation.
It's funny that it's when it came up the first time, I was like, oh, okay, foreshadowing. When it came up again in the movie, yeah, I thought it was kind of fun. Anyway, so they basically they save the elevator people by getting like a crane. I don't understand how this worked, to be honest.
just your modern, you know, roof crane, you know?
Yeah, they attach a roof crane to the elevator, and then, I don't know, I guess it...
It holds it up.
It holds it up while it got, after it got blown up. And remember, like, the...
Yeah,
the
he blew it up. The terrorist guy blew it up, and he's like, it's going to drop, and then doesn't drop because the crane is saving them, and they get some people out. They get everyone out. And...
My shoe!
They find the the terrorist guy hiding in the elevator, Dustin Hoffman. And they have like a standoff where they think they kill him, but they didn't. And of course, they have that whole situation where Dennis Hopper is holding Jeff Daniels and is like, and Keanu shoots him, being the hostage, but shoots him in the leg. Does not kill him.
Well, so can we stop? All right. Well, so I'm going to stop you right there. Yes. That moment when he shoots Jeff Daniels, it kind of looks like Dennis Hopper just sort of intentionally just drops him at that moment. It's like, just hold on to him more.
It's like a surprise. It's like, oh, did I get shot? Like, it's like, I think that's the idea. It's a way to, you know, catch them by surprise.
I guess. Mm. But it looks like he just let him go and then looked at him on the ground like, what?
Oh man, and that, so he like the Dennis Hopper like walks away and there's an explosion, like all the C4 or whatever he had on him, and that like knocks Keanu back, and I think is that when you cut to like Medal Ceremony, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, one thing I wanted to mention a little bit back, I guess,
yeah, that's,
I just
that's,
gotta
that's,
say
that's the prologue.
That's a that's setup, the, yeah. It is like it is almost like this introduction, you know, B plot happening, almost like it's almost like the Simpsons setup, you know, kind of thing. This movie, but I just gotta say that Jeff Daniels and Keanu, they look good in this movie. Even Jeff Daniels,
they're a good pair.
They're a good pair, and they look great.
Poor Jeff Daniels.
This is the same year as Dumb and Dumber too.
Even Jeff Daniels.
Well, yeah, because say like you said, same year as Dumb and Dumber, and he looks like a freaking
wow
maniac, you know.
He is an interesting character in this movie. I didn't expect him. I didn't expect.
Well, he
Dennis
spends
Hopper
the whole
either
movie with like a hangover, basically. <That's>, I think a lot of people forget that they kind of party at this. So they have this medal ceremony. They get medals for saving the hostages, and then it cuts to them like in this bar. They're all celebrating.
Oh, and we see before it cuts to the bar, though, we do see someone watching that medal ceremony on their TV.
Yeah.
Way to go, Jack. Way to go.
Dennis Hopper is still alive. It's still out there.
And we get a good shot of his hand with, like, the missing thumb in this moment, which is kind of cool.
There's little details and stuff.
Always good for a bad guy to have a missing appendage
something
or limb.
Yeah,
yeah, something's yeah missing.
Well, that's the thing that allows Jeff Daniels later in the movie to find him.
Mm.
Like, we gotta look for cops with missing digits or something.
But yeah, so they go to this party where they're celebrating their victory, you were saying, Dave.
Daniels gets drunk, and so it's the next morning. Keanu Reeves goes in to get his muffin and his coffee.
I'll say that the
it's
drunk
become
acting,
personal.
This was bad drunk acting, I think.
From Daniels or Keanu?
From everybody. Like, when they're at the bar, it's like three people talking. I feel oh yeah, like you're gonna have to. What Jeff Daniels like? Well, I'm gonna go home and have sex.
Oh, you mean when they leave? I thought you meant the next day. Okay.
No. The drunk acting at the bar, I thought was like,
it's hard. A tough.
It's
thing
really hard to do. I don't know if I've ever really seen good drunk acting before. It's one of the hardest.
It's just like not. It's almost like just can't act. I guess
the Mario movie.
Yeah. So, right. I'm gonna go home, have some sex.
Harry, you're gonna go home and puke.
Yeah, well,
Well, that'll be fun too.
Yeah, it's like it, I feel like even talking about earlier when I was talking about no one remembers the end. It's almost like no one remembers this beginning. I mean, at least me. I mean, I remember the elevator stuff, but it's you catch it on TV and you're watching. You might catch it miss the first 10 minutes. You know,
are you just flipping like, oh, they're not at the bus yet?
No, it's like you almost like you're like flicking through and then you're kind of like, oh, speed's on and it's already been playing for a little bit. You know, you might be picking it up at this coffee shop moment. I feel like this is the beginning of the movie. You know, this is the. But yeah, and it's yeah, and yeah, basically it Dennis Hopper, it's personal now. You know, he's gonna go ham with this one.
Yeah,
so for old Jack.
He's like, you know how long it took me to do that elevator plot? That was 2 years I spent trying to figure that shit out. You just ruined it. So now I got a new plot that I've spent like a few days on, and it's a bus.
And it's arguably more complicated than the one I spent 2 years planning.
Well, I love that he calls Keanu like after he buys the muffin. And just like, the bus blows up, but he calls Keanu and like just explains for Keanu and the audience the rules of our movie. That we're
Which is genius,
watching.
I think.
It is, yeah.
You know what? How good is a mysterious payphone ringing on the street? Like,
oh, that's one of my favorite movie tropes.
Yeah,
it's real good.
And yeah, we don't get that anymore. You know, you don't get that random just walking in the payphone rings and you pick it up. Do you answer the call? Are you answering the call?
I think there's one payphone left in Bartertown somewhere.
Yeah.
Well, it's only there to accept like ransom demands or hostage moves or something.
Yeah,
that's like that.
It's only used for mysterious calls.
Yeah.
Yes. that's the thing, man. That's one of those tropes. It's like now that all like payphones are gone, it's like what are we supposed to do now? It's like you find a mysterious cell phone by itself.
You get
like,
a call from like an unknown number is the best.
That's lame. Weird technology
it's
sucks
spam.
Now. It's ruining our movies.
Bring back payphones. We used to be a country.
Yeah. It was it's cool.
Mysterious it's like, ransom demands.
It's like it's that ring, you know? Like it's such a distinct ring that
yeah.
happens, you know? It's
oh,
loud.
I love okay, so but this is one of the like very Troy McClure like Simpsons moments too, I feel like. One of many. So he buys the muffin and you see the interaction with like, as it's not Sam, Sam's the other bus driver, but there's some bus driver who Keanu's like clearly friends with. And like, it's like the guy is basically like, oh yeah, I sure hope nothing bad happens to me.
Yeah. Two days to
retirement.
Yeah.
Everything's good in life of old.
I got
Hanker.
My coffee. I got my muffin. Things are good.
Things are good. And he gets in the bus and then the bus just blows up like horrifically, multiple explosions. And like Keanu's like going over like, is he maybe okay? There's like more explosions
it
happening.
Keeps blowing up.
And Keanu just kind of is like, oh, like I'm not even going to go that far. I think this is not going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a quite a sight too. There's a lot of
and
good
then the, phone rings. That's when the mysterious phone rings. So.
Well, and this is back like again, like we've talked about this in past episodes, like when Harry Met Sally. But it's so refreshing when you watch movies from this era, where it's not they can't rely all on CG. You know what I mean? Like they blew up that bus for real. Like that shot when Keanu's running after it, it keeps blowing up. It's like a full size bus prop or whatever there. It's blowing up.
It's hot and like, you can feel the heat.
Yeah,
you can feel the heat, and just like in 4K. I really appreciate it. I mean, obviously there are some things in this movie that were like miniatures and models and stuff like that, and they look really really good. That's another thing I miss is kind of like model work and miniatures. Like spoiler alert, at the end of the movie when the bus like collides into that plane and there's that giant explosion, that was all miniature work.
Was it really?
And I'm like, that looked real to me. Like, as a kid, I always assumed that they just drove a bus into a plane. But no, that was all
miniature. That's what Nolan did in Tenet.
Really?
Oh, and that's a real plane that goes into that building. Remember that in Tenet?
Yeah, drove a plane into a building.
I think I forgot about that moment. I've seen that movie once. It kind of went in through one ear and out the other.
You gotta experience it one more time.
No, you don't.
Yeah. The best.
I thought that was real too. That looked great.
It looks good, yeah. I think back to like scenes like from the end of the first Terminator when like the tanker's truck blows up at the end. That was a miniature. Like I feel like that stuff can look really good, and I don't know. So it just has like a tangibility to it that CG just doesn't, in my opinion.
No, it's tough. It's a tough tough thing to do, and expensive and dangerous, yeah. And people get hurt, I guess, and that's why they don't do it as often, you know. I guess miniature wise maybe not, but
yeah,
I don't know, there's just people probably that not doing it, like learning how to do it, you know what I mean? Like it's
a lost start.
Yeah, it's like I mean, I'm sure there's other things that are smaller that people will do, but
Dave, so we get the mysterious call that explains the rules of the game. Can you tell our audience the rules of speed?
The rules of speed. All right, hold on. Let me get into character. Let me like tuck my thumb like into my hand like that. So I got like
he's kind of he has a coked out vibe too.
Because you'll notice he's like holding his phone weirdly, like to like his you know, he's holding it in his right hand and he's putting it up to his left ear.
We gotta put an effect on your voice, like you're calling, like you're speaking from a phone.
Pop quiz hot shot.
There's a bomb on a bus.
There's a bomb on a bus. The bus goes over 50 miles per hour, it blows up.
No, it doesn't.
Or if it goes under it.
No, it doesn't. That's not how it is at all. Okay.
Pop if quiz it doesn't hot. Reach 100 miles per hour, it
what?
Blows
None
up.
None of this is the rules.
At 88 miles per hour, it initiates a flux capacitor.
Unobtainable. The material. we can't find. Okay, no.
I would have been someone in the elevator shaft that fell down. I would have been the guy that didn't reach out in time and fell down.
You know what? I just watched Batman Forever, and you're that guy that's like, oh, no, it's acid, or whatever. Like, you know?
How is Batman Forever?
It's great.
I haven't seen that in a long time.
Oh, no.
Batman!
Yeah. I swear that's in a lot of movie montages. There's a bomb on a bus. Like, that line, just like the way he says it. Such good delivery. It's a classic moment.
Pop quiz, hot shot. There's a bomb on a bus. Once the bus goes 50 miles an hour, the bomb is armed. If it drops below 50, it blows up. What do you do? What do you do?
What do you do?
And this is kind of a thing where it's like for a movie like this, you gotta suspend disbelief, because I'm like, first off, it's hard to believe that a bus would. I feel like it's hard to believe that a bus would hit 50 on the freeway and then stay at 50 for more than like a few minutes. You know what I mean? Because like he needs to get there so fast, because once that bus hits 50, like they're on an LA freeway, that thing's gonna be dropping below 50 like any second. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the one thing that kind of stretched. I mean, obviously that's not
he does
the one
get there. I mean, in the movie's defense, he gets there like as they're hitting 50.
Yeah, like when they get on the freeway.
Yeah, so he get there. Like
usually a bus is probably not going 50 miles an hour ever.
Yeah, I don't think a bus is. I mean, I guess maybe LA is different, but I feel like buses don't go on the freeway that often. I mean, I've seen them once in a while, but usually when they're like out of service and like, I don't know.
Yeah,
that was a little weird. If I were making this, like maybe put it like 40.
Well, then it's not speed.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, but it's not going fast.
A bus reaches 20 miles an hour. The bomb is
It like explodes as he's explaining the rules. Like, oh, shit, that didn't work. That didn't work the way I thought it would.
Yeah. Well, it's almost like him making it 50 makes it long enough for, you know, Keanu to get there. You know what I mean? Like, it's almost like it might not even get to 50, you know, I think.
Yeah. But
it's like almost like a timed properly.
That's part like built into it, because you got to imagine like Howard Payne, which is Dennis Hopper's character's name, is got to be thinking Payne. Like how long could Jack Travis possibly keep this bus at above 50 in LA traffic? You know what I mean? Like this is going to be very difficult for him to manage.
No.
Yeah. It's fun. Like, whatever.
But it's like a Saw thing. It's part of the game, part of the hunt, you know?
I'd want to know what bus it is.
Oh, yeah. It's like,
you
what bus?
I'll tell you that? Yeah.
Yeah, he tells him the number, tells him where it's at. Like, he tells him exactly. And he finishes where it's at, Keanu's already running. It's the coolest.
I love that.
Yeah.
That speaking of tropes, that's another fun trope I have where someone will be on a payphone. They'll just leave really fast, and you'll just see, like, the dangling cord. Yeah. You know?
It's God, so
you don't
good.
Get that anymore either.
No. Nope.
You don't get the dangling cord.
Cords are all phones are all cordless now.
Jesus. Yeah, it's I love that. I love how fast he goes. He just takes off. And then and then there's this moment where you kind of get introduced to a few of the bus patrons, whatever. While Keanu's getting to the bus.
Connor from Succession is on the bus. That was fun.
It's funny that you go straight to that, because I go to Cameron.
I was thinking Ferris Cameron, Bueller. Too. Yeah.
Yeah.
First time in L.A.
Oh, no, I live here.
No, I mean mine. Oh, that's just funny. You heard me wrong. No, I'm sightseeing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I hate to use the word tourist, but it's not like I can hide it.
Not really.
Oh, jeez. You know, it took me 3 hours just to get here from the airport. I got so lost. L.A. is one large place. Of course, you live here, you probably don't notice. I'm such a yokel.
Jeez.
There, I said it.
You have, and if you haven't listened to it, if it's still out there in the wasteland, the I Think You Should Leave episode, or I Think You Should Leave, I was there too, with Matt Gourley, did a whole episode about people on the speed bus, like, and so he interviews everybody.
Oh, cool.
Anyway. I love, we get a great trope of the character who, Sandra Bullock, who's like,
she is so cool.
About to miss being on, like, the doomed place, but, like, is led on and thinks it's like a, oh, thank you, you're so nice, thanks for getting me on the bus, lifesaver.
Yeah, she's like running, she's chasing after it. She has such a cool look. This is like her, this is her running out, catching that bus. I'm like, that's Star Is Born right there.
Yeah. Was she in, had she like been in anything before this big time?
Nothing huge, really. I mean, this is probably her big break, right?
Well, it's definitely her breakout role.
She is.
I mean, Keanu had been in movies before this for sure. He'd had Point Break before this, Parenthood.
Wasn't Bill and Ted before this? Ted.
You know, oh yeah, well before this.
Keanu's been around a while before this, you know. It was kind of almost like a risk, almost like let's get Keanu to do this, you know.
Oh no, Bullock and Sandra had been around. She was in Demolition Man the year before.
Oh, yeah, but that's not like a huge movie though, I feel like, you know. Like,
that was a pretty big movie and it was a pretty big part, and it, actually looking at her filmography,
it had a pinball.
She was in stuff in like 1987, so she was working well before Speed.
I think though that this movie is her becoming a household name though.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, definitely.
Like I think she's been around like Love Potion number 9. I remember that. But yeah, I think it's like those are a handful. Of, like, it looks like 93 was like a huge year actually for her.
Dave, did Speed have a pinball table?
It didn't, and it's like, what the hell? Why does this not have a? That's like a perfect theme for a pinball table.
You
going
know that?
Fast.
You know a Cactus Canyon? How it has the train that goes across the top?
Yeah, you gotta stop it before it goes all the way.
Perfect.
Seems like an obvious pinball table. It didn't.
This is nuts. Yeah. She had like 1, 2, 3, 4. 5, 6 movies in 1993.
Wow.
And then Speed. And that was like all of her movies. And then Speed. It was kind of like, I bet she was working on a bunch of stuff. Maybe they all were coming out. I think there are a lot of smaller parts too. It's a lot of like she's not like on the poster, you know, except for like, yeah, she's not even on the poster for Demolition Man, you know,
but she's on the back glass for the pinball table for Demolition Man. Because they knew what was what.
She's incredible, and we also get Sparkle Motion Lady on here.
Oh,
sometimes I doubt your commitment to Sparkle Motion.
And she kind of plays like a tropey character, she's not this, but in my mind, I kind of picture her as the quiet religious lady who ends up going crazy.
Yeah. Well, she kind of does a little bit. She kind of loses.
Yeah. Well,
it.
She does. Yeah. She's just not religious. R.I.P. At least not from what we see.
What about the rest of us?
Hey.
What about the rest
Eddie!
Of us?
Guys,
I can't stay.
I gotta get off this bus. I gotta.
Yeah. She's been. What's that actress's name? Because I feel like we got to give her credit because she's been in so many things her whole lives of just like...
Beth Grant. And yeah, she's been in a ton of movies. Donnie Darko, No Country for Old Men, Little Miss Sunshine. She's usually like a character actor. She's just like a small role, yeah.
Is she one of the
she has so many
administrative
credits.
People in the beauty pageants in Little Miss Sunshine?
Yes.
Yep. That's she's fun. Been, she has 100 roles. That's the way to do it. To be an actor, you gotta be someone that you're that person, don't know their name, and you're in 100 movies, and you're probably living great, you know?
Well, that's she was also, she was in King of the Hill. She did a bunch of voices on King of the Hill.
Oh, no way.
She was in The Office.
Yeah, she has tons of roles. It's crazy looking at it.
She probably gets pretty good residuals for a lot of this stuff, I'd imagine, too.
And they're all she has pretty prominent roles in them, you know? Sometimes I doubt your commitment to Sparkle Motion will be ingrained in my head forever.
And mind you, I had to do a lot of scrolling before I even got to Donnie Darko on her filmography. she's done so many roles, it took me 10 scrolls to get down to that.
Yeah, she's on the bus. We got Cameron or what's his name in Succession?
Connor.
who else we got? There's
Sandra Bullock, of course.
Sandy, you know, he's great.
I got gum on my seat. Gum.
I mentioned Miles Dyson.
Well, he's not on the bus.
On the bus. Yeah.
Fuck. You're fired. Everybody's fucking fired.
We have Ortiz, I think is his name.
I feel like I've seen him before. He's sort of there's a lot of people that don't really do much, but there's kind of a small group of people that kind of keep popping up. Connor is I'm just got in to LA. I love this town. Blah, blah, blah. It's like a creeps show.
They're all kind of like cartoons, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they don't, they have so much time to build themselves, so they're all kind of like someone you might see on a bus. You see the big tough guy and the scary guy and the the loud lady that's talking about how this town used to be better or something like that, you know. I got rid of
back in my day there used to be payphones everywhere.
I just couldn't handle the freeways anymore. I got so tense. This way I can just relax all the way to work.
Yeah, well, I love my car. I miss my car.
But then, basically Keanu steals a car.
I love how we're still explaining the plot of this movie. The movie's called Speed, and we're explaining the plot in the slowest way possible.
Well, yeah, so Keanu, he steals
a car. It's the only way to talk about this movie is just go through it.
We got to slow it down. This movie's so fast.
Yeah, Keanu, he steals a car and catches up to the damn, that's another trope we got going on, the car hitting the water tanks on the side of the highway, you know, and blowing up. That happens a few times in this movie.
Or just commandeering a car. That's always a fun moment in action movies. I'm a cop, I gotta commandeer your vehicle. Is that a thing?
I'm sure whether or not it's a legal thing, it's a thing.
Can a cop just flash a badge and be like, I'm coming to your vehicle, I gotta get an action chase?
I have a feeling that whether or not they legally can do it, they do it.
I'm pulling you over for a broken taillight. Also, I'm coming to your vehicle. Move over. Well, what do you think happened with that Jaguar driver? Did he, you got to imagine he sued the city or something, right? Or sued the police department?
Yeah, it probably went nowhere.
Now, Mike, as a former lawyer, what would you say his settlement was?
He didn't have one.
Yeah. But yeah, kind of.
Keanu probably, like, after before he jumped off his truck, he probably, or his Jaguar, he probably, like, covertly, like, stashed him, like, cocaine, like, in the glove compartment. 100%.
100%. That guy's actually, guy's in jail now, actually. Yes. He's arrested for, like, a murder that happened that same day in Ohio.
Yeah, Keanu not only put cocaine in the car, he put, like, a gun with, like, serial numbers scratched off in the back seat.
LAPD, get out of the car!
Again, this is my car. I own this car. It's not stolen.
It is now. Move over.
Fuck! You scratch this puppy, and me and you are gonna have words. You understand?
I think Keanu does his own stunt jumping from that car to the bus, though.
Was that him?
I think he. I read that that was him.
Oh, wow.
Which is a pretty intense stunt.
That's impressive. Again, it's like, I think I've said this before on past episodes, but I'm kind of in a weird spot with that, where it's like, you know, when you see stunts like that done in CG, it just looks like garbage, and you're like, why can't they do it for real? But at the same time, it's like, well, like, do they really need to put their lives on the line for a movie? Like, for my entertainment? It's like, eh.
Yes.
They do.
The answer is yes, Dave.
Because we demand more. We demand speed.
One thing I meant to mention, so, like, before Keanu takes the car to chase after the bus because it gets away, he's, like, running down the bus, and they're like, this guy! And, like, there's this weirdo trying to get on the bus, Sam.
Oh, yeah, he just looks like some crazy person. Like,
and he,
let me
like,
on the bus! Let me on the bus!
You think it's an accident because he's, like, pounding on the window of the bus, and he breaks it? He, like, cracks it? Do you remember that?
It's like the first time he does it, too. Yeah. He's like, hey!
Psh! Yeah, like it must be an accident. I feel like it's like a... Because it's like... I feel like his face is like, oh, shit. Like, you know, I didn't mean to do that. And
can you feel me?
Yeah, yeah.
Stop! Open up! Get off the door, man! This ain't no bus stop!
That guy really wants to get on the
bus.
Open
up! Stop!
But I just think that's a cool moment for some reason. It's not even like he's pounding on it, just like poof, just one little hit, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's also like from his point, yeah, it's good because, you know, it expresses like the severity of the situation. Like, I need to get on this bus.
Yeah, I really love this.
I'm a cop, LAPD.
Yeah, LAPD.
Yeah, I really love all the stuff like him getting on that bus, and I love the introductions of the characters. And
I love that he, like, he eventually like tells the guy to. One thing I thought was funny, so like he's driving, he's not, you know, he commandeers the car to keep up with the bus, and the bus is still just like, this is a crazy person, and he's like, okay, guy who I stole the car, like, you're sitting in the passenger seat, right on your paper, there's a bomb on the bus.
A bomb
and
on
I feel
bus,
like
yeah.
The guy like writes like. Takes a long time to write there's a bomb on the bus.
It's
like,
very legible.
Like this, I feel like that it goes on for just a little too long where I'm like, what is happening? Like if I was driving like I was Keanu, I'd be like, what do you just write there's a bomb?
Well, he's getting driving around like crazy and going fast. He's like trying to write it. It doesn't seem that crazy that he's like trying to write, make it legible. It's setting up tension because there's that amazing moment where he like trips or they hit a bump or something. And he lets go
the
of it.
Flies
and you go,
up on the windshield.
Oh no. You go, oh no, they're not going to know. But it goes, poof, smacks right in front of the damn driver. And it's such
there's
a great
a bomb on the bus.
Yeah. It does like the fucking Spielberg pushing on his head. You know, it's like, it's amazing. It's like a
that
cool
that
moment.
That reminded
yeah.
me of like, you know, you're talking about references. Like I don't know if there's that many like specific references I could think of that this was, that I was thinking of watching this, but I did just the vibe of it is very like Simpsons, like Troy McClure kind of stuff. Like this is a thing I could imagine on like a Troy McClure, like bomb on the bus.
Oh, you mean Rainier Wolf Castle.
Rainier Wolf Castle. Yeah.
Yeah.
Troy, yeah. Sorry.
Not Troy McClure.
I mean, and I know Rainier Wolfcastle is Arnold Schwarzenegger, and like, there's lots of other stuff it's pulling from. But
yeah,
this, if I just, I could see that, like, bomb on bus.
Like, wait, so is Rainier Wolfcastle the one driving the bus in this instance?
Yeah, he would
bomb
be.
Bomb on bus? But yeah, he, it's like, and I love it when, you know, Keanu, he gets on the bus and it's like, he tells everyone to calm down and he kind of leans, like the driver knows what's going on, which is like, yeah. Something about that exchange, I don't know. I really think it's good.
You can't hear them. You hear him just chatter, like as he leans down and talks and he's all tired. You just jump from a car to the bus.
Pop quiz, hot shot.
All that stuff, it, for some reason, really gets me going. Like all that kind of, this is before, like, you know, he gets accidentally shot by a passenger and then Sandy has to take over. But it's, that's amazing, too.
Yeah, that's
but,
when the movie really gets going. Yeah. Once Sandy's behind the wheel of that bus.
Well, they do a good job of, like, upping the stakes, you know, throughout this second act when they're on the bus. Like, the bus driver gets shot by a guy with the gun on the bus. You know,
he's, like, Keanu's after him or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And we should say, too, this whole time, I think at this point, Keanu, or it's like right at this point, Keanu has let the home HQ at the LAPD know what's going on. And our partner, who's been shot in the leg from the previous heist and is like hungover, is not at the scene. It's a classic, like, I want to be out there, but I can't. So he's like on home, you know, doing the, like,
the guy in the chair.
He's the guy in the chair. Yeah, that's exactly it.
Yeah. He's good too, though. Even though he's just basically behind the chair. I think it's fun. Like, fun little exchanges with the other cops and stuff. And
see, and he does some stuff, the Jeff Daniels, and once he gets out of the chair, it's not good. He should have stayed in the chair, but
yeah, he should have stayed.
So right now, there's some of that is like starting to go on too, as Keanu's trying to like quiet the bus.
That's the problem. We find out that he needed Keanu Riffin. Like it would have been different. It would have been a different story if later in the movie Jeff Daniels figures out who the bomber is. If he had been with Keanu and they had like flown in the car, you know, like over the street, you know, got some airtime, then it would have been a completely different story. They would have disarmed that bomb in the house and it would have been fine.
Yeah.
But he's by himself. And he's, when it's Jeff Daniels by himself, it's just him in full on SWAT gear, awkwardly like entering in through a window. Like, it's just not the same.
Well,
you know, he's doomed by the way he enters that window awkwardly.
So, like, so Keanu is like yelling at everyone on the bus, like, what? Does he like just explain like then like there's a bomb on the bus, you got to go 50 miles, you can't go under 50.
I think it's after. Exactly, yeah, I think it's after though the bus driver gets shot though, isn't it? Kind of thing.
Or yeah,
it,
they're like stop the bus.
He's like stop the bus. Yeah. You can't stop the bus. And then that's when it's like right after he handcuffs that guy to the bus, he's like there's a bomb on this bus. And that's another, like, I feel like I've heard him say that so many times.
There's a bomb on this blank.
If anyone tries to get off, it explodes.
If it goes under 50, it explodes.
Yeah. And yeah, this is when Sandra herself becomes a star driving that
this
bus.
This is when the bullet train is born.
Yes, the Sandra bullet train. No, it's, and she's great. And I think they have amazing chemistry too. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, oh, for sure.
It's funny, from what I remember, like in interviews, like she had like a huge crush on him while making this movie.
I was gonna say, this is like one of those movies where I'm like, I would not be surprised if, like, oh yeah, they dated for a while after this movie or something.
Well, she had said she had a crush on him during the movie, but she didn't, not that he was like a dick during filming or anything, but like, it's, evidently he didn't reciprocate those feelings, I guess.
You're at work, too.
But later on, it was revealed Keanu was like, I kind of liked you, too. You know? Well, during Speed, he just didn't show it.
Yeah.
He's kind of a dork.
Keanu's a consummate professional. Like,
yeah.
And Sandra Bullock is, too. Like, they're, you know. It's not a good idea.
Well, that's why he's calling her ma'am throughout most of the movie. Like, ma'am, can you drive this bus?
Yeah.
Shoot. I
Could you do me a, favor and hold the wheel for me for a second? Hold the wheel. Thank you.
Ma'am, you did very well. Actually, you were incredible. I've never seen driving like that.
Annie.
What?
It's my name, Annie.
Annie.
As opposed to ma'am?
Okay.
Yeah, they're great, and it's they have so many little obstacles that they come across, and there's needing to turn on the freeways, and then the cops direct them onto a fucking.
That's kind of the rest of the movie is just like it's in a good way like a video game where it reminds me of like playing Grand Theft Auto when you're just like trying to drive fast and like. Not yeah. hit everything
did,
in your way.
Did the stuff like, you know, like just them like trying to get through the neighborhoods and like stay going, did it feel pretty like, did the suspense kind of work for you for a first time viewer?
Oh, I loved
even
it.
Though
I
even
loved
though it's
it.
Like a is a cheesy action movie, but that stuff kind of worked.
I thought it was perfect. It was
cool.
It was great. That's all I like. Once that happened, I was just like, let's put them in weird situations that they gotta like, okay, we gotta get off the free, like, we gotta go in the shoulder, we have to deal with traffic now, like. Oh, we have to get off the freeway because that's the only option. Like, oh, how are you going to navigate, like, just side, like, not side streets, surface streets, you know? And like, oh, you're going to hit a woman with a stroller, but, oh, it's just filled with cans.
That's got to be
that's insane, that moment.
That's one of the big moments from this movie that I think people remember.
Those cans!
And if you watch, we take a soft turn to the right.
That's like that moment like hits me like that, like they like tears me up almost, like the way Sandra Bullock like reacts to that. It's like intense.
That's the
like.
The clip that's used in the Hot Dave Summer Film Fest intro is her screaming as she hits the stroller.
Yeah. It's a great, like, it's like Hitchcockian in a way, like this whole thing on the bus, you know, just tension thriller, you know.
Sure.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love all that stuff. It's and then it comes to the is there anything before the trailer moment that's basically
the jump
that's on the magical jump that
happens.
That
jump doesn't make any sense. So they're like going through like they eventually like get them to a off the so the cops are like heavily involved at this point, and there's like a motorcade being formed. And they get them on a unused freeway, which, sure, I guess is an unused freeway. And they're at a certain point.
Well, it's like a section of freeway or something.
I think at this point they save the driver, right? They have
yeah,
a call.
Yeah, they're able to get him off.
And like Keanu's like talking to the terrorist guy over the phone, over like a cell phone, and is like, hey, this guy's gonna die, like it's an act of faith, let me save him. And
they still get plenty of us to kill.
They orchestrate him getting saved, and the great moment where Sandra's like trying to drive the bus like close to the like platform where they can jump
here we
off
go!
And then of course is this where the sparkle motion woman has
she kind of like has her come to Jesus and tries to get off.
She's just like, no, I'm gonna save me, I can't take it anymore.
Yeah, and she goes under
the bus.
There's
gum on the seat.
Yeah. She tries the... Oh, and the cops are like, come on, come on. It's like, why don't they have orders to not get anybody else off this bus?
Yeah, that was a little surprising, yeah. I hope those cops were fired.
Yeah.
They're probably promoted.
Well, as she was falling to her death, they like slipped some heroin like in her pockets.
Jesus, you're always about planting.
That's the LAPD, right?
Yeah.
In the 90s.
Yeah. Yeah, she goes under the bus, and it's very sad for everybody on the bus.
Was driving the bus. Well, I couldn't tell how old...
An explosion. Some kind of an explosion. The bus hasn't exploded, but... Oh, my God. A woman caught in the blast fell. She was pulled under the wheels. This is terrible.
Yeah, it's kind of cool the way they do that explosion, because it's like a very targeted explosion that just blows up the platform. And you like see her body like roll, which is like one moment. Like there's I was thinking about a lot of this movie that I feel like if it were made later in like the 2020s, it might be a little more, I don't know if cynical is the right word, but there were just moments here where this movie is choosing fun over another. Like, I'm thinking of the elevator scene in the beginning, right? And people are like getting off, and there's kind of that dramatic tension of where the window to get out of the elevator is like closing down. Mm-hmm. So like they could be like chopped in half or like lose a limb. I feel like a movie in the 2020s, like someone would have lost a limb that way or something, or there would have been like some horrific thing like that you saw. Even if everyone's saved, like there still would have been, you know, something like that. And that never happens, which I like. I like that it doesn't like go to that like grim place, or like it could.
It's pretty grim though, that freaking woman going under the bus.
This is the moment where it does kind of choose like you see her body like rumble.
Well, it's also
down.
It's made even more dour, like when you have that exchange between Keanu and Sandra when they're talking, like, when she went under the bus, or when that bomb went off, I thought that was it. I thought that was the bomb. You know, like that whole exchange between them is pretty serious. You know?
Yeah. It's really like, she's great in that. I feel like every time she's kind of doing her thing on there, gets emotional, and she's, you know, it gets me. I don't know, moment and the cans.
Well, yeah, the cans, and like every time she like wiggles her hands, you know, when she's like excited, like she honestly feels like someone that they just plucked off the street. Like, wah, wah!
She's like, she has good range too, because she has that energy. Both of that, but also she has like she does have like a tough, no nonsense vibe that I love. Like,
yeah, really funny.
I would describe her as plucky, which is
that's nice. Probably, I think you're probably on to her appeal in general, really. It's just that she does feel like someone almost, especially at this time, that came out of nowhere and was just like, felt like she was plucked off the street and put in a movie and while you're sleeping or whatever, you know, like. That's why people loved her. Or they still do, but.
I think this is, I mean, not to, I'd have to look at her filmography, but I think this is kind of her, this might be her best movie.
Her most successful movie is probably still The Blind Side, right?
Or like Miss Congeniality, that was a big hit. Oh, Gravity, she was good in Gravity. I think it's just, you're right. Just the way she plays this performance and just, I don't know. She seems the most real in this performance than any other movie I've seen.
Well, she was recently in The Lost City. That was a fun one. Little movie.
Yeah. I'm not saying like her. She peaked with Speed. I'm just saying like it's probably my favorite of her performances, I think.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the stuff that kind of came out, a lot of, you know, those maybe sort of, you know, not romantic comedies, but romantic kind of dramas, and then there's a lot of those sort of like thrillers as well, like cop procedural thrillers and things like that.
Crash. You know, as a woman in Hollywood, she has had a really successful career. Like, she's like,
oh yeah,
that she's like continued to keep working and getting great roles after being 35 or whatever is a pretty big achievement.
And you mentioned The Blind Side; she got an Oscar for that.
Yeah, I mean, being in something like Gravity, like I feel like that's a rare role for a Hollywood woman of that age, or Lost City, you know, like even going that recently,
she got to be Joan Wilder, basically.
impressive career, I'd say.
Yeah, and it's not like I mean, she's been in a lot of stuff, but it's not like a shitload either. I feel like she kind of just does like a movie every couple of years now. Yeah, should we talk about that jump? That magical jump?
Yeah, the jump. Well, so it's like they try to explain it by saying there may be an incline. You know, I was like,
there's a throwaway line, yeah.
Yeah.
Explain
an incline.
Ryan, explain the magic jump.
Well, you know, they find out, because the cops are fucking idiots, you know. Like all cops, that there's a big gap in the freeway. This is why it's cleared out, probably, you know.
How did they not notice this?
Yeah, they should have known, you know, hours
because
ago.
It's finished on the map.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess you're right. Like we're in a world where we have Google Maps, you know, that they're updated every day. And this is they have an old thing.
They plant drugs in the gap in the freeway.
Yeah. And so there's a big gap, and basically, like, Keanu's like, we have to just gun it, and we're going to try to jump this fucking bus. And it's 50 feet? I don't know. It's a huge gap. It's like a...
I think they say it's like 50 feet. It might even be 75 feet.
No, it's 50.
Maybe I'm thinking pretty big. 75 miles an hour.
And in a way, like, I'm like... They really wanted that bus to just automatically leap because it does a jump. Yeah. It like
and you said it, like, you said Ryan, there's no you made clear like
it like lifts off the
no,
ground
like big ramp that we're
like
going
God
off of.
Grabbed it and pulled it up.
That's yeah. That's the thing. There's no
it does like a wheelie.
Fast and Furious does this all the time, but there'd be like a ramp. There'd be like some ramp they go off of or some. This is just road.
Yeah, it's like going straight, and then it goes...
Yeah, you see it lift up. God lifts it up.
And you know what? It looks amazing. It doesn't make any sense, but it's a pretty incredible visual, I gotta say. It's pretty cool.
I mean, we all watch this together, so you know this, but for the listeners, I grabbed the remote and rewound to watch this again, because I was sure I missed something, but no.
Yeah. But there had to have been a ramp that was there that I missed.
It looks awesome. It's a really cool thing, but it is funny. Watch, like, I feel like when you probably watched in theaters for the first time, you maybe weren't thinking about it. Maybe when you watched it on VHS, when you rented it, because this is one of the biggest rentals of all time, I think. And then,
now, the clear light of day on FX.
Yeah, the clear, now in the clear with, you know, like you said, 4K stuff, it just looks like a freaking flying bus.
Yeah, now that
it takes off like ET, like ET in the bikes. Wow.
Get a cut of like the bus flying by the moon.
Well, it kind of makes you wonder, like, why couldn't they just make, when they were making it, why couldn't they just make the incline like way, you know, like the difference between them, like,
right,
just, you know what I mean, like that would have made a little more sense.
I know, but I think they wanted that bus looking like it's soaring through, like, you know, It's a...
Why not just a ramp? Just put a ramp there.
I don't know. It's cool. It looks great.
Cool, but I mean, hey, I guess we're talking about it, right?
Same time, and it is like one of the big moments in the movie that everyone remembers. But yeah, it literally just does a wheelie. It doesn't even have that thing like in Batman Forever when Batman hits a button and like flame spits out and like tilts the Batmobile up. You guys remember that? Mm-hmm. It's just nothing about it makes sense, but it doesn't matter because, like you said, the moment when it like
lands,
I'm in. When the moment when it cuts to it landing and just it's so good. It's so ka-chunk, you know. It's just so well edited and just like
it's a very well edited movie. I think.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. It's a great. It's wild, and it's wild. The bus just keeps on going after that. You know,
I love it.
After it drops out of the sky when God drops it. Yeah, it's great. And then eventually they find a genius idea to just do laps at the airport.
Yeah. Like, yeah, perfect. Duh.
Yeah.
But then the movie's smart because, like, they do it and it's like, well, they got to keep having problems. So, like, let's put new problems in where basically they start.
As soon as they go through the airport, they, like, go through, like, the spikes.
Yeah. And so now it's like the tread on the tires is wearing.
That's a new time thing.
Is wearing out. So
and they're out of fuel now. They're running out of fuel because Keanu, like, in a moment of desperation while he's under the bus trying to disengage the bomb, he, like, sticks a screwdriver into, like, the gas tank.
Oh, no, that's such a great... I totally forgot about that. Like, what an interesting... That's... Like, Keanu's the one that's making the bus run out of fuel fast because he's, you know, trying to grab onto something and stabs the gas tank.
He stabs the gas tank.
It's a great little thing.
That whole sequence of him going under the bus looks really good too. Like, I'm sure there was trickery going on there, but it the movie magic worked for me. It felt like while I'm sure Keanu was not going under a bus driving fast, it looked like it.
Well, that scene, like, thinking about it, because when you're in the movie, you're not really thinking of the logistics of a lot of things. You're just like, oh, yeah, of course. He's going to get on a little thing. They're going to, like, wheel him down, like, with a little rope and wheel him down, and he's going to operate on the thing. But you got to imagine, like, they must, you know, it's going to be dangling a lot. He's going to be going left and right. But also, in order for it to make any sort of sense, they would have to be keeping perfectly, you know, parallel or whatever in front of the bus.
As
you know what I mean?
Going around in circles.
Yeah, so it's just like, you gotta imagine, he's like, if this were real, he'd probably be like skating from left to right, like.
There's a good shot too where it's like him, he's lying down, and it's kind of like a POV shot where you see like the bus going towards him, and it looks so like low to the, like it looks like he's like gonna kind of claustrophobic, like that. That was a, I was on the edge of my seat on that shot for sure.
Well, it would just be it, in this scenario, it would be so easy for him to, if there, just a slight miscalculation, and suddenly like his leg is getting torn up by the tire of the bus, like you know, just it's wild.
And the whole time Sandra is driving, and at this point she like likes him. And have they at this have they figured out the closed circuit camera yet? And
then, I think it's after this. That, I, it may,
it's after, yeah.
Because that's a cool thing we should talk about.
Yeah, because they're trying to figure out why they could see them or something like
that. Right.
That Dennis Hopper can see them.
Yeah. They know the bad guy can see their every move. He's like knowing what's going on.
Well, it's because their assumption. Their assumption is like, oh, he must be watching like the TV cameras and the choppers.
Oh, right. And the choppers are gone. That's what happened.
Yeah, and the choppers are gone. And they still knows, and they're like, "What the hell? How does he know?"
Oh, and then he calls Sandra a wildcat. That's the big line.
Oh yeah.
And then he's like, "Oh, wildcat." Yeah, she has a
which is like as a hometown thing. Like seeing it in the theater, you're like, "What?"
Everyone's like, "Yeah,
alma mater."
Yeah. Right.
Really. Yeah. Oh, very cool.
Good football team.
Yeah, Tucson, Arizona. Yeah, they it's pretty, it is funny. It's one of those things that happens in movies when someone says like a hometown thing, you're like, yeah, especially when you don't live in LA. Whatever.
You go to the University of Arizona?
Yeah, so?
Good football team.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't really know.
Arizona Wildcats.
Right?
He can see
you. What?
He can see you. Can see just me. Keep looking straight ahead. He called you a wildcat before I didn't even pick up on it. The bastard's got a camera right in your face. He can see the whole bus. He's been playing me from minute one.
Yeah, well, he can see me, but can he hear me?
Doesn't look like he's just watching.
And honestly, like, if you're talking about moments from the movie that I that people remember, I feel like that's a big one. When that moment when he realizes that there's a closed circuit camera on them.
Yeah.
Arizona Wildcats. Like, even if you're not from Arizona, it's just such a eureka moment. Like, we called you a wildcat and I didn't even pick up on it. You know, I don't know. Just that moment. Every time I see it, the eureka moment, and he notices it behind the big circle mirror, I'm like, oh, man, that's great.
Oh, yeah. Because she has a sweater. On her, she's like sitting on it or something probably or something, and then they decide to do like the whole freeze thing. That's something I remember a lot, is them not moving on the bus so they can like re-loop them all on the bus. All
for that
the whole
one
crew.
Idiot with the bag.
Stupid fucking idiot.
It's always Jesus.
Keanu told them like be perfectly still, no big motions or whatever. Drops her purse and she's just like, oh great, what do I do?
just said, like, can we get do a retake? I dropped my purse. Yeah.
But to be honest, it lasts for a long time. They all get off the bus at this point, and it's not. He doesn't. Dennis Hopper doesn't realize until
at this point.
Like,
yeah, they
later.
Cut to Dennis Hopper, and he's kind of like. A little too confident, I think. He's like cracking a beer.
Like, he's like, wait, he's like getting his money.
No, you don't crack a beer during this. Like, you got to be on.
He's watching the big game.
Yeah, he's got like other stuff besides the news footage of the incident going on.
Interactive TV, Jack, wave of the future.
Also, you notice like I love the like set dressing of this guy's like lair, because it's just all the TVs and all the stuff related to the plan, but he always has in frame with him like a creepy mannequin behind
him.
Yes. I feel like such a 90s like villain lair.
Well,
thing.
I kind of took that as that wasn't necessarily something that he had. I think that was just sort of like an impromptu thing. Like, I think he picked that place because it was specifically right across.
But why
from
is there
the drop.
One mannequin?
I don't
just
know what
something
the place
you have in
was.
A lair. You know, you have
it's
that
a lair. Yeah. I think it was an impromptu lair. He had to do this stuff on the fly, and he just picked that place because it was right across from like the drop zone that he wanted them to put like his.
It's
money.
A bad guy lair. You have creepy mannequins with. Yeah. And yeah, and they get them all. This is when the whole thing happens where they get everyone. Oh, Sandra, what happened? Why can't Sandy and Keanu get off the bus? I can't remember.
She has to be like steering it. Like they get everyone off,
as they're doing that. Something like breaks. Like I think like something breaks on like the.
Is that when the wheels finally give out? Or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, I think
like
so.
The tires are finally gone. They're like completely deteriorated.
Yeah. So, yeah,
and I think at this point has Jeffrey Daniels meant his untimely demise?
I don't think so. Yes.
He has, yeah.
Because they get like a false thing of where the guy might live and it's his old house.
They kind of like, they see on the bomb, I think Keanu is like describing it and says like it's a gold watch and a
fairly
bunch of
C4. Cheesy.
And they've already set up in the very beginning of the movie, like, mm-hmm. like one of the first lines in the elevator is like, there's 30 more years of this and you'll get a tiny pension and a gold, nice gold watch. And so cool. Gold watch. Is this guy a retired cop? Yes, he is. He's a retired like bomb squad guy from Pennsylvania, I think.
With digits numbering 9.
This movie is really hitting home for you, Ryan. Pennsylvania and Arizona.
I know, right? Yeah.
Ryan, in your room in the store, I've noticed you have a lot of mannequins. What's up with that?
Don't mind. Don't pay attention to anything to the man behind the curtain. Yeah.
There's a bomb on a video store. You must check out 30 copies of Avatar.
Or need to find out which video box has the bomb in it. By renting every single copy. No, yeah, and there's the whole nice thing where they get on the little escape route or the trap door, I guess, in the bus, Sandy and Keanu, and they kind of ride it off into the sunset while the bus blows up. And it's a great moment.
Is this a moment? Because I think we've talked about this in the past, Ryan, but like there have been times, like particularly with Shawshank Redemption, where you're like, oh man, like I'm of two minds. Because explain quickly, like as a sidetrack, your thoughts on the Shawshank Redemption, the ending.
Well, I wouldn't say this is quite that, but it's because it does feel like, I'll tell you in a second, but like this does feel like a little bit like, oh, it's it. Buses, it's over. Like it does feel like it's a false ending a little bit. But in Shawshank, I saw it for the first time in theaters, and it kind of like you know, you're following Morgan Freeman. He's kind of following the path almost of Tim Robbins, and he's kind of going on the bus to meet him, and you're not sure. And it kind of ends in a way that you're like not sure if he's gonna be able ever meet up back with him, kind of thing. And then it kind of fades to black and comes back and he's meeting him on the beach, you know, doing his dream. And it's a great moment. It's incredible. But I'm like, I don't know if I needed that. Like I kind of, it's just the cherry on top, I guess. Maybe too many cherries. It already kind of had the cherry.
It's like another sundae on top of the sundae.
Yeah. Cause it's already, I was already like done. I was just like, oh man, in your mind, you're like, did he ever meet back up with, I feel stupid for not remembering Andy. Their names. Andy Dufresne, right?
Yeah.
And
Dufresne.
And I'm like, oh, well, because you kind of, he's following this path a little bit, you know, after he gets, Morgan Freeman gets released from prison. And it's like, they'll eventually meet up, you know, but now it's like they're in heaven, basically. And it's like the end of Lost, you know, which I love, by the way. But it's like basically that.
They were, at the end of Lost, it was like they were dead the whole time, right?
Yeah, that was exactly. But you know, just like meeting up with, you know, with the people you love before you move on to the next life kind of thing. And that's basically what it is. And it's beautiful. But I'm like, I don't know if I needed that quite at this movie. But, you know, now when I think about it, I'm like, maybe I do. Maybe it's a good thing to have it. I haven't rewatched it since. But now I'm like, I think I'd probably like it now. But no, with this ending, I have it marked in my notes. My last note is that the bus blows up 20 minutes before the movie ends. That's 20 minutes left. And in a way, you're kind of, it's sort of like, oh, wow, I guess that's it. And then it turns out it's not. You know, there's more to it. You know, with them dropping off the money and trying to catch Dennis Hopper for this last 20 minutes, it's a fourth act for sure.
Yeah.
Mm. And it's not bad, but it's, I'm not sure if it's the way to end it, I think.
Especially, like I said, I think my maybe my only complaint with the movie is it's a little long. I feel like it drags a bit. It's just like, I don't know, it's like a little exhausting. It sounds a little too mean, but I was ready for it.
Do you feel like it's almost like it's like having to set up like a whole new like plot essentially in the fourth act there?
Yeah, the pacing. I think it's just the pacing probably. I think Tarantino said in that he did WTF, and I think it was in that he said something about when a movie feels long, he usually thinks it's the editing and the pacing rather than it actually being long. And I think that's probably it here. Because the pacing is kind of weird with like...
It's just a weird thing.
You get a climax and then it's not like it gets right back into the action again. It's like there's almost like a lot of kind of breathing space before it ramps back up again. And that after you're an hour 40 into this movie that already did that is a little like, all right.
Well, it's setting up the whole like drop and like the paint pack in the case and everything.
Which is all good stuff.
Yeah, none of it is bad. It just does feel like the movie sort of like hits a speed bump and has to like restart and set up a whole new thing where it's like, well, now I'm going to put the bomb on Sandra and stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's like it hit a section of unfinished track.
Yeah, there was an incline. But yeah, like if you divorce it from the rest of the movie, like the end is good. Like he chases him down into the subway I love the fact that like there's a little bit of, like obviously we've mentioned Die Hard a lot of times. This whole movie's often been referred to as Die Hard on a bus, but like Keanu's shirt is like all just like black because it's just like hold on, does he get a fresh shirt at the end here?
I think so. It could have been like some hours later.
Okay, because I was thinking earlier, like, you see his shirt, and there's just, like, scuff marks all over it. You know what I mean? Like, that's essentially, like, his diehard costume.
Yeah.
But I think you're right. I think he does get, like, a fresh shirt when they do this money drop. But I don't know. I like this action on the bus when Dennis Hopper is crazily shooting, like, the roof of the bus, the roof of the subway train, and they get up on top of it. Like, that's another one of my favorite action movie tropes is like fighting on top of a train. Like, that will never get old for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's good fighting on a train. I mean, Keanu ends up taller.
It's a good moment.
It's a good villain of like, I don't know what he said. Like, I'm cooler than you. I'm smarter than you. And Keanu's like, oh, are you, huh? Fuck.
What do you do, Jack, huh? What do you do? You're so smart, right, Jack? You piece of shit. I'm the guy with the plan, because I'm smarter than you. I'm smarter than you. Yeah. Well, I'm taller.
I'll be honest, as a kid, I never understood what that line meant, I'm taller, because I didn't piece the two things together that the other guy lost his head, and now, therefore, Keanu is taller.
It's a little weird.
I don't know. I always thought it was kind of a weak one-liner.
It is. It is a weak one-liner, but it's funny. It's good enough.
This is interesting, because I wonder if this is a leftover from the script, because it looked like the script went through a lot of changes. I'm reading here on the Chattopedia. So originally Paramount passed on this because it didn't think people want to see a take a movie that takes place 2 hours on a bus. And so they took DeBont and Yost, the one took the project to Fox, which also distributed Die Hard. And Fox agreed to greenlight the project on the condition there were action sequences in the film other than the bus. And DeBont suggested the film start with the bomb on the elevator to establish the characters and maybe kind of a reference to Die Hard a little bit as well. And then Yost used the opening elevator scene to establish, and also introduce the villains and all that kind of stuff. It says Yost, the writer, then decided to conclude the film on a subway train to have a final plot twist not involving the action on the bus, and Fox then immediately approved it. So they just, for some reason, just couldn't deal with it. They needed more action scenes. And the thing is, there's so many different types of action scenes on the bus. That's what's wild about it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's, this is something I didn't realize. A great guy, Joss Whedon, did some rewriting on this script as well.
Really? Oh, wow.
And I guess it was Keanu's idea, and just like punch up, you know, kind of thing, talking about lines and such. But the thing is, that whole "I'm taller" kind of reminds me of an old line, because he says that they changed Keanu's character from being a maverick hotshot to a polite guy trying not to get anybody killed. And that was Keanu's input. He's like, I want to be polite and not like the badass, you know, kind of thing. Which yeah. He kind of is. It's kind of different for a guy. Yeah. He is like, I'm trying to think of is there another movie you can think of where like there's a polite action hero kind of thing?
I mean, Arnold Schwarzenegger in True Lies is when he's like riding that, you know, horse, is always saying, excuse me, sorry, excuse me, you know.
He just he liked the idea of him being like earnest, and he kind of is. Yeah, he's not very like cynical or. And there's that one moment though I do have on here and I love it when he's like, "We're gonna die," I forgot to mention it when they're on the bus. He gets all like freaks out, you know, and his partner. He finds out his partner died.
Oh yeah, that's like his one like he cracks moment.
Yeah, he's like, "Oh, we're gonna die.
We're gonna die."
Jack!
Got it!
Jack!
Got it!
Come on! Don't give up on me! Jack, come on, please! Jack, stop it! Jack, come on! Stop it, okay? Don't give up on me right now, alright? And we're really scared and we need you right now, alright? I can't do this by myself, please! Jack, please.
Okay? Please, all right? We're
gonna die. No, we're not. We got this far, okay?
But yeah. Yeah, it's, the ending, and in the end, it ends the same way the bus did, where the train flies out from the LA subway, or people don't even forget that LA has a subway system. And but it's kind of a movie thing. It kind of ends like on the street. There's like a marquee, I remember, outside.
Well, right
of
in front of Man's Chinese Theater. Oh no, it's not the Chinese Theater. It's something else. It's a theater showing 2001: A Space Odyssey.
Yeah, it's like a weird. And then people are taking pictures like, this is Hollywood. Like there, it's something. There's some sort of meta thing happening at the end there a little bit, where it's like you just rode the Universal Studios speed, you know, tram tour or something, you know. And then they finally make out, right? Don't they make out at this point finally? Sandra and Keanu?
Yeah.
We're gonna go on a date. They have some nice little lines, I feel like. They're great. I think they're great.
They're great together. And it ends with like the Hollywood Star Tours bus like bumping the train or whatever.
Wow.
It is a weird, I like it. It like, I mean, I don't expect like, you know, the backdrops to like slide away and suddenly it's like the end of Blazing Saddles or anything, you know, but it is like a fun quality when you just see, you know, it comes out like an, I guess, Hollywood Boulevard or something like that, which is kind of, it seems odd that they built a ramp up, you know, from the subway to like presumably the middle of the street. I don't know what the purpose of that was, but...
I have been on a subway in LA once, so I can't tell you what it's like, but it was weird. It's different than other cities. So, but yeah, it kind of ends with the kind of a Hollywood ending, which is sort of, yeah, you're right. There's maybe something about that. I don't know. It kind of becomes sort of almost fake. Maybe they're dead the whole time.
The bomb
it's
went
lost
off immediately.
All over again.
Maybe they did. Maybe they did die on that bus.
I don't know. but yeah, I mean, any closing thoughts on Speed?
Yeah, even I've heard like that Ebert thought this was great. 4 out of 4 stars he gave it.
Nice.
He said, films like Speed belong to the genre I call bruised forearm movies. Because you're always grabbing the arm of the person sitting next to you. Done wrong, they seem like tired replays of old chase cliches. Done well, they're fun. Done as well as Speed, they generate a kind of manic exhilaration. And I think it kind of does, especially in that middle chunk of the movie. I've seen it 100 times, and I feel like I get teary-eyed when Sandra hits that damn cans.
Do we have Gene's thoughts? I'm curious.
This is, no, I don't know if I have
Gene's. I'll say, if you want to maybe see it, this was, speaking of Tarantino, this was on his list of, like, when he did that list back in 2009 that was, like, 20, my favorite 20 movies since I've been making movies, since Speed was one of the 20.
Oh, very nice.
This is I just remember that list because I remember a funny thing is, back in 2009, there was only one director who had, I think there was only one director who had two movies, but he had The Host and Memories of a Murder, the Bong Joon-ho movies.
Good picks
around those.
I don't have the full review, but I do have the headline for the Chicago Tribune of Gene's review, and the headline is "Speed gets rolling quickly and never starts to slow down."
Okay.
I think he liked it. I think he liked it. Yeah, he liked
it. I gotta be honest. We've talked about Siskel and Ebert before in the past, and I gotta say, more often than not, I think I totally disagree with Gene's takes on movies. Like, they're very much,
it's weird. Sometimes I'm with him, sometimes I'm not. It's weird. It's a flip flop. But they're always like, to have good things to say, usually.
You know? Yeah, for sure. I just think, like, more often than not, Gene kind of took more of the, like, conservative almost approach to the movie. Like, do we really need all this violence? And I don't know.
Yeah.
Not that I'm saying Speed needed more violence. Like, I'm not saying we needed that moment where, like, we saw a head explosion or something like that. But
blood spurting out of the decapitation.
Yeah, I just feel like, more often than not, like, I never agreed with Gene's takes.
Yeah, same. Gene's, well, I think overall, Gene's takes have not aged as well as, I remember one time, like, on a Paco Tube, there's lots of compilations of just, like, old Siskel and Ebert stuff you can watch, and I remember one, it was like 1980, it was like early 80s or mid 80s, and they were doing a little feature where it was like actors to watch, like actors that we think are going to be movie stars, and I remember all of Ebert's takes were like people that went on to become household names. Like, he had early on, oh my god, why am I blanking on his name, the one that our friend Eric has been, like, watching a lot of recently. He was in Macbeth.
Tom Cruise?
No.
Denzel?
Denzel. He picked Denzel Washington when he was, it was like some supporting role. He was like, Denzel Washington popped, he's going to be a movie star. Like, this is a movie star. Like, really prescient takes. And all of Gene's takes were like, I've never heard of these people. They did not go on to become movie stars at all.
That's funny. Yeah, they're great. I love going down a Paco Tube, and I'll watch hours of it. I don't know what's the deal. I guess it's just like listen to one of your favorite podcasts.
Yeah, it's like watching like something like Red Letter Media or something.
In a very concise form too. Like, you gotta remember, their reviews are only maybe like 5 minutes.
That's the only thing I don't like. I wish they were longer sometimes, because like they do kind of like just get in and out. And like, I want to. You talked about Jurassic Park for 3 minutes. Like, I want to hear what you have to say on that.
Anyway, Speed's great. I think Speed, like, I think it holds up pretty damn well. I'm trying to think of like anything like problematic about it.
Well, there's definitely the minority who is like a felon and like doesn't like cops, but then learns that cops are actually the good guys.
I guess that's the only thing.
I think the biggest hurdle for this movie for anyone would be like suspending their disbelief, especially with the jump. Yeah. Like, if you could suspend your disbelief for portions of the movie, I think it absolutely still holds up.
I could see, you know, talking about a Paco Tube, I could see an unnamed, we don't have to name it here, but, you know, everything wrong with the jump and Speed. This movie's actually bullshit.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you're right. But like, as like a kid watching it, it's freaking cool.
Oh, it's great. No notes.
And like you said, or like I said, like the actions, or the miniature work, the explosions, the practical effects, it all still holds up.
I think I think, like, I while I appreciate the idea of, like, the last little fourth act of the train stuff being, like, kind of a bit of a twist, according to them, you know? Like, them trying. I don't think it quite works. Like, I think I'm on with Mike with this a little bit. But the bus explosion would have had been something different, because it kind of is a little bit of a fart. You know, it's like, oh, that's, I guess it's over. And
but it is a giant explosion, though.
It is. I'm just it's talking about, like, this. Fart. It's like, it's just like, oh, the bad guy just didn't know. Like, no, it's just that, like, kind of that like that's the
first ooh. Annual Hot Dave's Summer Film Fest with the chili. Like, kind yeah. of.
Like, it would have had to been a different thing with Dennis Hopper for that to be the end of the movie.
Yeah, and, there would have had to been, like, some confrontation with Dennis Hopper.
You know what
sure.
would have happened? Like, if for that to be the end of the movie, we would have had to have seen Jeff Daniels get into it with Dennis Hopper somehow. And there's, like, some confrontation where he's like, oh, no, he has, like, well, he does. He has, like, a trigger that if he wants to, he can blow it up. So he's like, I got to get that from him. And then, you know, that could have been like the B plot going on, him trying to get Dennis Hopper, and then he finds him, and it's, you know,
something where, like, instead of going to his home, like, whatever, for whatever reason, where Jeff Daniels goes is like at the same place that Keanu's at, like at the airport terminal or something like that.
Yeah, so something, all, you know, and it's like they have like something. This confrontation, and it's like, we got to get the trigger from him before he blows, you know, they're still on the bus. We got to get the trigger for him before. And then that could be the thing. They get off like Keanu and Sandra get right off just as like the trigger like falls to the ground and it hits the button and it blows up. You know what I mean? Like just long enough for them to get off the bus.
It would have been something like that. Like, I think that's the thing is like, cause I think it is, you're right. It's a huge, awesome explosion. I love them flying out from under the car and all that is all cool, but it's missing. There's like a half of it missing with the bad guy stuff. So
yeah,
like he would have to blow up on the bus himself. Like Dennis Hopper would have had to been on the bus as it blown up.
How did he die?
He was, his head got cut off.
Oh, right, yeah. right. Taller.
He's taller.
That was good.
It is good. It's not like, you're right. I think on its own, like it's a good intense ending and stuff. I think it's just like getting Sandra Bullock wrapped up in it feels like unnecessary, but it's like needed
it's
also.
Like, why is she there?
That's actually
a complaint I've heard before. It's like, why did she go with him? Why is she there to basically like be there when they do this drop to the guy that tried to kill her? You know what I mean? It's just, it's like,
yeah,
why bring her along?
It's a different movie. You're right. It's Speed 2, really. And it's kind of like where it's personal that she's involved now and all kinds of stuff. But
yeah.
But yeah, so it's... I think that's really the movie's only kind of... I think the beginning's good with the elevators... introducing our characters and stuff. It's the ending is not bad on its own, but it doesn't really work, I think, in the movie for some reason. It'd make it like a 4-star for me or something like that, I think, from 5.
Well, nevertheless, yeah, I think I would agree. If this were a Letterboxd rating, I would give it like a 4.5 out of 5, maybe.
Because it is good. And then Twister, Twister's one I haven't watched in a while. Like, how does that hold up? Have you watched that recently?
I've never seen
it. I think it's the same thing. Like, you have to suspend your disbelief, and if you can do that, you'll enjoy it.
Yeah, that has a lot of so many everyone's in that movie. And doesn't
Cameron
Connor,
pops up in that too.
He's in that too. He's like his guy. He's like his Bill Paxton. Yeah, he's like Cameron's Bill Paxton.
Except he doesn't show up. I don't think he shows up in Speed 2. I was for sure like expecting him, like, oh, well, he's like the tourist guy. Of course he's going to be on the cruise ship, but he wasn't there. That was surprising.
I mean, too disbelief type of thing.
I guess. I don't know. Well, one movie I will not recommend for any summer film fest or any movie watching is Speed 2. Just to briefly touch on it, it is a horrible movie. The conceit of it is really stupid. Even though it has Willem Dafoe as the bad guy, and he is crazy.
Is it Keanu and Sandra?
No, it's Jason Patrick from Lost Boys playing a Jack
Keanu
Travis,
knew better.
Like, you know, clone, essentially. It's so stupid. Like, they go out of their way to say, like, this isn't the same character. This is a different person. He's not the Keanu Reeves character. But for all intents and purposes, he's the same character. Like, he has the same, like, kind of shaved head and just the same sort of, like, body type. And it's just like, why? Why? It's horrible. It is truly horrible. Probably one of the worst sequels I've ever seen. Stay away from it. It's a bad movie. Yeah. But do see Speed. And that's where we'll leave you with this this installment of Hot Dave's second annual Summer Film Fest. All recommends from us on this one. I like.
Strong recommend, yeah.
Strong recommend. Like, this is pretty good. I feel like we've chosen good movies this year as opposed to, like, kind of crap movies.
How like, about that?
So far, so good. We're two for two. Dirty Dancing and Speed. Last time was,
like, The Beach. What was that, like? Blockbuster failure.
Cutthroat Island.
Cutthroat Island. Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. I forgot about that.
As you should.
Well, all right. We'll see you next time, folks. The summer rolls on in Hot Dave's Fun Summer Film Fest.
I want to go home and have sex with my... What's the line? I'm going to go home and have sex.
You want to do another take of that, Ryan?
I was going to say, I'm going to go home and have sex with my wife, which I think is a spoof of this, I think.
You're going to go else. Home and puke.
I'm going to go home and have sex.
I'm going to go home to my mannequin.
Right ahead and vomit.